Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Boys, nice to see you again.
I can't believe it. It's now Wednesday and we are all in the same Lions kit.
I know, amazing.
We must really like these Lions kits.
Yeah, we're sat in these wonderful Lions kits. You can watch this and the previous podcast on Facebook. And you're listening to it right now on iTunes, and that is where I would suggest you subscribe. Acast as well is where you can find us, and then we'll get every episode delivered straight to you. But for now, hands in, pod on three. One, two, three, pod.
We don't need to do that, do we? Because they know how the sausage is made now.
Well, no, that's people listening don't. It's fine. Like, illusion, Jay.
All right,
audio
fine.
Illusion.
Anyway.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. The podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We are just three mates that love the game. I'm Tim. That is JB.
Hello, Tim.
That is Phil.
Hello, Tim.
This is the second podcast of the week, as I mentioned. This one about all matters domestic. We've dealt with the international rugby in the other podcast. Go listen to that if that's what you were expecting to hear. Hopefully you're going to enjoy hearing about the Aviva Premiership matches, the Avicii Premiership matches of the week, and looking ahead to some more domestic rugby besides. That was a nice smooth fade for you, JB.
Yeah.
Wasn't your normal abrupt finishing. Right, so let's get straight into this then. So last week, on last week's midweek domestic pod, we talked about the George Ford rumours. Now, let's go back about 3 or 4 months. And it was that long, wasn't it? When on the podcast, we broke the news and it was then spread everywhere.
Oh, sorry.
No, go on. Because we're talking Avicii Premiership. Go on.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
It was going back at a good couple of months. I think it was back at the start of October, maybe even September, when we broke the news that George Ford would be definitely leaving Bath and would be going to Leicester. Was what I understood to be
yes.
the case then.
Yeah.
So we were the first people to break that bit of news. There's quite a lot of other more people are talking about George Ford right now, and as we were on our last podcast. So let's have a little bit of an update. So last week we said, and JB brought some news to the table, I'd had elements of that kind of verified, but I didn't totally understand it, but it was Sale Sharks. Turns out there's a lot of people saying that. Let's just reiterate what we know to be true, or what we think is true.
So are we verifying things we want to be true?
Yeah, there are unknowns and there are knowns and there are known unknowns and there are unknown knowns.
By the way, that's one of the most underrated, most sensible speeches ever. If you actually listen to it, it makes sense.
There is some logic there, I agree. So, back in whatever it was, September, October, I don't know what podcast it was we did it on, I'd heard George Ford to Leicester.
Yep.
And he would be leaving Bath. And I was pretty convinced, right, well, that's going to be done. The Sale things happened much more recently, but there are other clubs that have been interested. Northampton Saints
yep.
are thought to have been interested. Sale Sharks have been interested. On the last week podcast, JB talked about the logic of the Sale move, why it would make sense financially.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people have raised eyebrows at the figure that was bandied about there, 850K.
Yep.
How confident are you on that number?
I think it'd be more. I do think. I actually think that's on the low side. Because, and also, did we mention the Joe Ford move?
Did we mention that last week?
I don't know. But if we didn't, one of the developments that I think I know, is Joe Ford will also return to back up his brother.
Yep.
Because in his contract, if Leeds don't go up, he doesn't have to stay. And he'll be returning on maybe more money than when he left.
Yeah.
But all on his own merit.
Cheers, bro.
Because that's how business works, isn't it? You give away a guy who you wanted to keep and bring him back later on more money. That's exactly how it works.
That's just good negotiation on George
And no
Ford's
doubt, he'll
part.
Still... He'll even come, even if George doesn't sign, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course he will.
Yeah.
So, right, Sale Sharks thing, that seems to be the one that's gathered the most pace.
Yeah.
And on the podcast last week, we talked about why. So the extra bits of information, which I understand, is, as far as Leicester goes, you were quite right, JB, Leicester can't afford or couldn't afford him without releasing some cap space, and they have two pretty impressive fly halves already.
Yeah.
They offered Freddie Burns to Bath. Now, Freddie Burns supports Bath. Was a fan of them.
Does he really?
He was a fan of that. He grew up supporting them. He used to go and watch them. He used to go and watch rugby at the.
I always thought he'd be a Gloucester fan.
No, he used to go and watch Bath. So, but Freddie Burns didn't know. This is what I've heard. Freddie Burns didn't know he'd been offered to Bath. Found out about it, and there was a bit of a meeting where he said, "Knock, knock on Richard Cockle's door. Knock, knock, come in. Hi, Freddie. I heard you've offered me to Bath. Yeah." Deal with it.
Okay, boss.
Okay.
Deal with it.
Well, he dealt with it very, very well today.
And there was a period. It's interesting when you look at the season and when Freddie Burns was starting at the very start and then more recently, and when he hasn't been starting, a little period through October. Which that could just be completely coincidental.
Yeah. I think it is coincidental, actually. Yeah.
I'm sure it probably is, because at that time, anyway. But that is something that was tabled. Now, this whole suggestion of Bath being able to have a clause in his contract that he can't move to Leicester, that you can't do that, surely.
No, you can.
You can't do that.
I'll tell you how it works.
But don't believe that.
No, it is. It's absolutely true. So I inquired about this. I was like, how do you have a contract, right, where... Isn't it like a restraint of trade? Is it something? And no, the point is, Bath will release Ford, but it has to be a mutual thing. And it, so he.
No, I get that.
He's still under contract for 2 years, so they'll only let him go to a club that they like.
The release clause has to be mutual.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a different scenario from saying there is a clause that says he cannot. They've named Leicester.
No, they haven't done that.
No. Which is what some places are suggesting has happened. Bruce Craig went, yes, you can sign a new deal, but you're not going back to Leicester.
Tell me if you feel I'm wrong on this. I love Bath. I love their kit. Actually. I think their stadium, as I said before, is the single best sports ground for any sport in the world ever made. I think it's brilliant. Farley House is exceptional. The squad is great.
Yep.
Yada, 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 yada. But do you ever get a feeling...
Why would you move? Is that what you're saying? Is that your next point?
Do you ever get a feeling...
That would be my point.
Yeah. That they're not a particularly nice club. As in, right at the top level, they don't deal with things in a particularly nice way or a way that you'd be... Yeah, that's the one little knock on them. They don't seem to deal with things the right way.
I would say, and I would remind you of stories we've heard about contract negotiations with other players at other clubs. There's a ruthless part of business always.
But I mean, it's even to the stage where they're not running the salary cap properly, and that got swept under the carpet. And you hear about the Mike Ford era, which wasn't particularly well handled, and the George Ford stuff, and Carl Ferns leaving.
I don't think there's all pervasive. It's
systemic.
Systemic. I don't think there's a systemic problem with that club at all. No.
No, I think the club's in great shape, but I do wonder if right at the top level they're not particularly good, nice people to deal with. That would be my.
As Tim says.
Yeah.
That's business. Isn't it?
Yeah,
but it doesn't happen in other clubs. I mean, you don't get that feeling about Saracens, do you?
Well, look, when Chris Moyles took my job, that wasn't personal. I was just a number.
And for about the same money as George Ford's going for.
Yeah, well, Chris Moyles, not me. I can tell you that much. In fact, Chris Moyles was probably on more, and I was on a much lesser amount. But I was a number on a spreadsheet. It wasn't. It was just.
Thank God you got this podcast money to top it up, eh?
Exactly. Well, and all the predictions of Chris Moyles' ratings came true.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yes. So no, I don't think there's any problem with it. I think it's they sacked his dad and he's taken umbrage with it.
Because it is interesting because George Ford has captained the side this season. He's captained at times this season since Blackadder's come in. which is obviously he's trying to.
Yeah. So look.
Let's just keep on track. So we're adding to information. We haven't
added any more information yet.
Yeah. Well, no. The Freddie Byrne situation. Mm. That would have been the way that Leicester would have got around and still might get around salary cap.
Yeah.
Situation. We're still in this. I'm still in the same position, which I think Phil is. I don't understand why he would leave.
Yeah.
Because. Yeah. Fine. You want to make a little
I'm
wedge.
I'm certain this deal is done. I'm certain of it.
Yeah. If he leaves, it is only for money.
Well, it's not really. He's from Oldham, and his girlfriend lives in Manchester.
Nah.
No, he is from Oldham. That's a fact.
I'm
with Phil.
And he can play with his brother. I mean, you can't underestimate these things.
His brother can be third choice by half.
You got to assume McGinty's not going to hang around, and Mugford's not going to be. Over Ford, is he? So, you can't underestimate these factors because they are both very important factors.
Well, hold on. Mugford's not going to be over Ford. They let Ford go and they signed Mugford. So, anyway.
Anyway. You make a solid point.
I'm kind of with Phil on this. I think it would be financial would be the reason.
It would certainly be the largest reason.
Okay, another bit of transfer news I can chuck on was a name that's been mentioned and linked with Sale Sharks before. I'm sure he was only there just watching the game, but I did see at the AJ Bell Stadium outside the ground someone who looked very much like, so I'll leave it there. It could have been, it may not have been, but it looked quite a lot like Danny Solomona, the rugby league player.
Oh, yeah, he's been sending like Facebook Lives of him in the. So, again, this has fallen through, I think.
Well, he was there today, sat next to Josh Charnley.
And he was also Facebook Living a game of table tennis, which the Sale guys were having. I mean, if that's not a clue, I don't know what is.
Yeah,
there's something going on there with his contract. I couldn't tell you what, but something is going on, which means he hasn't quite signed. Now, what is the overall plan here? Try and stockpile as many rugby league players as you possibly can.
And not play them.
Yeah. I wonder if this is one of the diamond things of just trying to get value everywhere.
Yeah, because Josh Charnley, so he's played what? 10 minutes in a LV Cup game,
and he's training
Anglo Welsh Cup
game.
But LV Cup had devastated, not so still have that competition under their banner. he's training well. He'll probably be playing next week or the week after.
Really? Do you think?
That's what I hear.
Can we just say now the whole we talked about the Carl Ferns thing a long time ago, but now that's been announced and is set in stone. That back row, how incredibly exciting is Gloucester's back row next year?
It's enormous. It is enormous.
So you would presume if all available, Moriarty 6, Carl Ferns 7, Ben Morgan 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the weird thing about this is...
handy back row.
I thought Morgan would go and Kvesic would stay.
Yeah.
Because I think...
There was talk of Morgan to Exeter along with Kvesic.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I was almost certain that Carl Ferns wanted to go there to play 8. But then you've got to throw in the England 7 situation, so maybe he wants to be like a brace of 7.
Yes.
And there's no two ways about it. He might be... the best option for that.
Yeah.
He carries, he hits like a hammer.
He's a bigger... So, Tamina Harrison does play in a similar manner to him, but Tamina Harrison isn't as big and as abrasive.
When I used to do the match announcing at Sale, Carl Ferns was comfortably my favourite player. He just looks like a silverback.
Yeah, he's huge, isn't he?
He's just... Yeah, I just love him. Love the guy. really... Next year, Gloucester's year.
Next year might be Gloucester's year.
Well, definitely if they continue playing like they did against Wasps.
And
not a too shabby Wasps side.
Yeah, yes. Is that where you want to? The one you want to kick off with?
Why not?
Okay, I didn't see it because I was playing rugby. So, fire away.
I've seen the highlights and I've seen Sippers
make a couple of howlers.
Yeah, the mistakes, the two mistakes for, I can't remember which try it was. It was Atkinson's try.
Yeah, sausage legs 10.
Have you seen it, Jay?
No.
He goes, Sippers gets the ball, middle of the park, goes to, in his own 22, so middle of the field, but just inside his own 22, goes to kick long, kicks it against one of his own players. It ricochets backwards, 5 metres from the line. He's the closest man, goes to pick it up and just picks up fresh air.
Isn't it amazing when the most skillful player, maybe like a top five most skillful player in all of England, all of English rugby, can't pick up a ball just because of the pressure against him.
Yeah, quite incredible. But that's probably the most insight I can give to this game.
Yeah, it's It's a weird one because it's only the second time that Wasps have lost this season, and they've lost to a team who you suspect they could comfortably beat.
Mm. Mm.
And we didn't see this result coming. Certainly not the manner of it.
No.
It's huge.
Yeah, not at all.
So,
anyway, shall we talk about the game which we do know something about? You were at Sale today.
Well, on Sunday. We've just talked about Sale quite a lot. Just there.
Bristol Bath.
Oh God, the less said about that game, the better.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know. Oh, I quite enjoyed it.
Horrible. Like some people did say. And you say that, and you take the mickey out of the Pro 12 being a bad advert for Rugby JB, and they were referring to the Bath Bristol. It was a horrible game.
Well, yeah, I mean, anyone who says that has to remember that there's an awful lot of ex-Pro 12 players playing that game. I mean, Reece Priestland was playing.
Only for 20 minutes because he went off injured.
You know, the coaching staff at Bristol have all got Pro 12 backgrounds. So, you know, I actually quite enjoyed it. I thought that... Bristol could win this. They should have won it. And also, the future for Bath looks fairly bright. I really like the 13. What's his name? Is it Clark?
Max Clark. Max Clark.
He seems to have something about him. And when Priestland went down, I thought, right, this has to be it now. This absolutely has to be it for Bath. Turns out Hastings isn't too bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought it was a pretty reasonable game actually. So I'm surprised that you're so down.
No, I thought it was pretty turgid.
Yeah, it wasn't the best game, was it?
No.
Well, I didn't think it was the best game. It wasn't the most attractive, free-flowing rugby. But then you don't particularly like that sort of thing.
I think it's disgusting.
Because you think Sale play the best
attractive... Sale do play the best.
Yeah, for what you find as...
It's widely known amongst people who watch rugby at a high level. That's all I'm saying.
Any other games to mention? So, yeah, Sale Saracens or Leicester Quins from Sunday afternoon.
What are you up to, Tim, on your phone there?
I'm just checking the comments on... I'm just checking some of the comments, and Neil Collins said, I'm so pleased to see that as the podcast has become unnervingly professional, on Facebook Live it still looks reassuringly amateur.
Yes, we are.
Leicester Quins. Quins, we know they struggle in the international window.
Yeah.
But you only have to look at the way Saracens have dealt with that to say that you can't use that as an excuse. You know that that's going to happen, and you know that this is going to happen. It's not an excuse that clubs can use. I think it just, again, that might be another reason why a side spending a lot of money on an England international is even more of a risk. Because in such a big position, fly half, it's a big statement of intent, and it might attract other players. But you're going to be without them,
I've said this before, right? The best player to be in the Premiership is someone probably from New Zealand, because you won't get picked for the national team. But a marquee player who's too important to play the LV Cup. I think Nick Evans does the perfect job. Having said that about Nick Evans, I thought that's where they lost it. I thought they lost it because I don't think Nick Evans and Cole Dixon, even though they've got all that experience, were particularly good today. I thought Freddie Burns was probably the best player on the park.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, he was.
And that was the difference. And that's worrying for Quins because they have relied on Nick Evans for so long. And I just think I think this is probably his worst season in about 5 years.
I think it was more than Freddie Burns versus Nick Evans. I thought Ed Slater was epitomised the way that Leicester played. He was hard and abrasive and just really nasty and gnarly. Yeah. Him and Fitzgerald in second row just dominated Harlequins.
Well, here's a guy for you. We're talking about England sevens. He's English qualified. Brendan O'Connor has had a very underrated season. I mean, not many people are talking about Brendan O'Connor, but he does a lot of work.
Well, it would up the quota of foreign-born England internationals. Just another one. We might as well while we're at it.
Well, Lockie McCaffrey again is another guy that you could have. And there was talk about him, not so long.
You could hear me go on another rant about project players if he gets a cap.
Well, his mum's English, so why not?
Oh, okay.
He's got an English passport.
Oh well, fair enough.
I think O'Connor is like, I think he's got an English grandmother or something.
Yes, Brendan O'Connor.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's only been playing one season and he's eligible now, isn't he?
No, here's a question, right? If How do you define an English grandmother, right?
She'd have to be born in England.
No.
Or eligible. Like,
well, that's
three,
it. I mean,
3 year eligibility.
I was going to say, if so, if someone, yeah, that's a really
good
question.
She's got an English passport.
If she has a great
so born in England,
UK passport,
born in England, or has a English passport, or eligible for an English passport.
It must be born. It must be born, because otherwise, if you just had a UK passport,
exactly right,
you could play for England, Scotland, Wales,
because
Northern Ireland, or Ireland.
Because otherwise, what's the point in going back as far as the grandparent? Because if you've got a mother who's half English, half Scottish. You don't say, I've got a mother that's half English, half Scottish. You go, I've got a grandfather who is Scottish and a grandmother who's English. So the heritage comes from the grandmother. So at some point, you have to go far enough back in order to find someone who is fully of something.
Yeah. Matt Banahan and other people from Jersey can play for
anyone. Yeah, anyone. Yeah.
Can he really?
Yeah. Isle of Man, I think. Isle of Wight.
What? So
Not Isle of Wight. Isle of Man and Jersey and
Jersey.
Guernsey.
Okay.
What? Yeah. If you live there, you can play for anyone?
Yeah.
You can play for any of the home nations.
Why is that?
I'm not quite sure, actually. I'm not quite sure the reasoning behind it, but I know it's the case.
Oh, my word. Right, we should... Look, before we... let's wrap up talking about Harlequins, Leicester. Queens, I mean, just big problems, and it comes back again to what we've said. Kind of when you look at Wales, when they've a successor has continued things when they could have done with... ripping up and starting again or trying something really new
yeah.
and fresh.
I think if they start losing home games, because that's where they're strong, they are strong at home, they do well there, when they get the England players back too, if that doesn't continue, then they will change things.
Yeah.
At the moment they can get away with being a kind of middling team.
Yeah, but they have ambitions to be more than a middling team, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a long shot.
No, they have ambitions. Yeah. I'm not saying that they're going to get there, but they have ambitions.
And I suppose their signings reflect this when you bring in someone like Jamie Roberts or...
Yeah, James Chisholm.
Yeah.
Guys like that, former Australian captain.
How have we not spoke about this?
What?
James Horwell.
Sorry, James Horwell, not James Chisholm.
James Horwell's finger.
Yes.
Oh, my word.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Austin Healey identified blood on his finger. I didn't see the blood. Is it a fracture?
An open fracture. Yeah. So the bone.
Oh God!
The bone was out.
Oh, I hate stuff like that so much.
Yeah.
We've had so many people send it to us. We really appreciate everyone sending us the picture of a broken finger on Twitter.
Has someone sent this picture?
Yeah.
I'll look at it now. Oh, it's just absolutely awful. And watching him grimace as well.
Oh.
That's how you know it's painful, because he's a hard man.
He's an important player for them as well. Because, at least they've got the enforcer Charlie Matthews to back him up.
Exactly right.
There you go, Drake.
Oh, that's one of the worst things. That is one of the most disgusting injuries I've seen.
It is horrendous, isn't it?
I wonder how long he'll be out for with that.
No idea. It'd be surgery, won't it? Because if it's a broken bone,
it'll have to
be plated and set.
So I'll tell you the worst injury that I've ever had, ever. It's a finger injury.
Paper cut.
It was horrific, mate. It was honestly horrific. Just moved up to Manchester. I was playing at Macclesfield Threes for Broughton Park Twos. And Macclesfield had these old cotton jerseys, and we were in a line-out. I was playing centre, I think. So I don't know why I was in the line-out. But it kind of wrapped, like, if you're on Facebook... Well, I've not even kind of see. Do you know when you kind of wrap it around like that? It wrapped around my finger, and then the leverage, I heard a snap.
It was like a tourniquet on your finger.
Yeah. It's like a snap. And I looked at my nail, and my nail was bleeding. I was like, odd. So, you know, just shook it off, carried on. Pain got worse and worse and worse, and it looked like there's like a little crack through the nail. And when I went to get it x-rayed, it was like a spiral fracture going through the nail, but then matching up through the tip of the finger and then around. And it wasn't until the Wednesday that I had to get this thing seen to.
Yeah.
Because it was so painful. I was sitting watching Apprentice with my finger in an upside down cap from doing like a kind of pledge with frozen peas in it. Just trying to get over the pain. It was so bad. And then, because I didn't have a car, to walk to bloody MRI, which is 3-4 miles away. Oh, it was such a miserable night.
So Claire, my wife, was in the gym a couple of years ago, stacking some 20 plates, and trapped her finger between two 20 plates. And she said she didn't feel any pain, but she heard a click. And she looked down and her finger was like a bit not quite right, not quite aligned.
Yeah.
So she thought it was dislocated, so went to yank it out, to relocate it, because she's a doctor, and said almost passed out with the pain. And then had to go and have... She had about three operations on it to plate it and set it and then reset it and then remove screws.
So I think we've combined between the two of us, we've answered James Orwell's going to be out for a little bit.
It could be it could be pretty difficult, that, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get well soon, James.
Yeah, massively.
That was... what does that mean for the table? Where are Leicester now? Have they moved up to second? Or are they third?
I will tell you in 2 seconds. Bath are second.
Bath are second, are they?
Yeah, Bath have won 7 out of 8.
Bloody hell.
Wasps are still in third. They've won 6 out of 8. And Leicester are in fourth.
Sale dropped to sixth?
Seventh.
Oh, no.
Exeter and Northampton both ahead of them.
Why, oh, no? Huh? You don't have a team. Why, oh, no?
Because predicted Sale would be top six.
Because I back... I think Sale will still make top six. But if they don't make top six... Well, there's two things. I've got a bet on with the Gloucester fan somewhere.
Have you?
Which is £10 for every position that Sale finish above Gloucester. So
yeah,
the other week, I was running at £50.
Yeah.
Now it might have narrowed a bit.
Now it's £20.
Yeah, but that will still happen. Sale will still do better than Gloucester. And also, because I've said they play nice rugby, they've got to do well, or I'm in trouble. Makes me look like an amateur.
I'm sure you'll find a way to defend your position.
Exactly right, mate.
No danger there.
Exactly right.
Right. Any other games you want to touch on?
I want Tim to tell me about the Sale game.
We'll
and,
do that.
And interviewing Steve Diamond.
We'll do that straight after a very quick Ellis Genge rugby social. So, no, don't put your phone down, JB. So I've just got three tweets from Ellis Genge, because Phil ignored Ellis Genge from rugby social last week.
I did.
I've got a purely Ellis Genge rugby social.
Oh, this is killing me.
So, JB and Phil, and play along. Ellis Genge was worried about playing against Marlon Yard in the Leicester Harlequins game. Why was Ellis Genge worried? Was it that he thought Marlon Yard might gas him? Was it that he thought Marlon Yard might sledge him? Or was it that he thought Marlon Yard might breathe on him?
I know. Breathe.
I'm going to say sledge if you're saying breathe.
It is breathe.
I know.
He was having a pop at Marlon Yard's breath. Next. Ellis Genge was excited about making what treat if Leicester won against Harlequins, which they did. Was he going to treat himself to cookies and cream brownie cheesecake, a Jaffa cake cake, or a cream egg pie?
You were first.
A Jaffa cake cake.
Cream egg pie.
Cookies and cream brownie cheesecake. And let's have another question then about Ellis Genge. When Anthony Watson tweeted a decision whilst watching the England match, tweeted about a refereeing decision, during the England match, which TV pundit did Ellis Genge suggest Anthony Watson was? I'm not going to give you options there.
TV pundit.
TV pundit. He said cheers and then used the name of...
Stuart Bonds.
Correct.
Yeah!
And then finally...
Go on.
Whose manners has Ellis Genge been forced to correct? Who's Ellis Genge had to out as having poor manners because he doesn't say please?
England or Leicester?
I'll rephrase the question then. Which member of the Egg Chasers podcast has Ellis Genge had to correct the manners of because he doesn't say please?
What?
It is one Jonathan Beardmore.
Yes. JB tweeted Ellis Genge saying, DM me. And Genji replied and quote tweeted it so everyone could see. Say please.
Well, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm going to let you into a little secret here, Tim.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to do a rugby social on Ellis Genge, so I contacted Lockie McCaffrey after our interview to post some tweets that I tweeted, so you would read it from Ellis Genge's account. So we didn't quite do it in time. So no. I was like, DM me, please. So the tweets I was trying to get up on Ellis Genge's...
Oh, you were going to sabotage Ellis Genge's watch, Rugby Social.
So the tweets that I was going to try and get up is... what clown is on Virgin Radio between 7 and 10 weeknights? And the second one was watching some old Man City games. How annoying is the voice of the guy announcing the team? we couldn't do it in time, and I'm devastated.
And you could have done one. You could have done one that was, who was the guy who was asking Steve Diamond the questions today on BT Sport?
So, yeah, unfortunately, we didn't quite get it done in time.
All right, well, that was Rugby Social and JB won.
Yeah! Well, the winner again.
Well played, JB.
Thanks, mate. I feel I deserved it.
If only you'd said please. Right, so, yes, Saracens, shorn of a massive number of their first-choice players. Mm-hmm. They still have a lot of quality. When you look at that team and there's Scout Britt, Scout Berger, Jim Hamilton...
Brad Barrett,
Richard
Marcello
Bosch. Brad Barrett, Marcello Bosch.
Lazowski.
I still want to call him Lazowski. He just sounds better.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yep.
New York cop. But they also brought through some fringe players that don't... I mean, Kelly Brown was... Kelly Brown. A player like that hasn't started a Premiership game this season.
I think he's dual signed, you know. I think he plays for, like, old Albanians or someone.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sure. He's definitely coaching someone.
Yeah, is he not doing stuff with the Saracens Academy?
Which is older. Is that not the same as Old Albanians, effectively?
No. So the Saracens Academy, they train at Old Albanians facility.
Yeah.
But it's not the same team.
Go on. He is a massive player to be able to bring in. But he is a little bit part. You've got Jim Hamilton, players like that.
Point being, they've still got a load of quality, even with all the international players out. And they put... You wouldn't know. It was just a Saracens performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, basically. I mean, I am genuinely shocked that Sale didn't beat Saracens. I had Sale to win. I thought they'd win quite handily. It just shows what how much quality Saracens have. You've got a guy like Ben Spencer, who... I think he's destined for England at some point. Tomkins. I mean, did Tomkins play today?
He came on.
On the bench.
That's another guy who they're very slowly giving more and more first-team appearances to. They're just in good shape. They're good club with great academy structure. Disappointing, though, because Sale had... I don't think they could have put out a stronger team, with the exception of maybe... And this, you're going to laugh at this... Exception of maybe having Avion Lewis-Roberts on the bench. That does help. Jonathan Mills is out. But other than that,
Johnny Leota. But then I don't think you pick him and Sam Tuatupu. We've got Sam James. It was Sale Sharks were at full strength pretty much.
And that's the most disappointing part about this.
At home, at full strength, against a weakened Saracen side, you would be hoping for them to do better than they did.
Yeah. And they didn't really turn up.
Did they not?
Really, no. Not in the way that you would... No, it wasn't a Sale Sharks performance. They just weren't at the races.
Mm. Tell you what, though. Sale are going to look... I mean, they're not going to do it now because Avion Lewis-Roberts is out for the rest of the year. Now, you think it's... I know everyone's thinking it's weird that I'm making a big deal of, the fridge. But what Sale did really well, and they did it against Toulon, is they brought on Helani Lika, who is enormous.
Yeah.
And they brought on Avion Lewis-Roberts at the same time. So if you're blowing at the last 30 minutes of a game, the last two men in the world you want to see are those two.
Yeah.
And then you throw Rob Webber into the middle of it.
Yeah.
And then you're in for an absolute nightmare.
That is an enormous front row.
And they can scrummage. It's not like Tony Beckley, who's enormous and can't scrummage. These are enormous guys who can scrummage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's no Furlong, though, is it? Let's be honest. He's my new favourite rugby player.
Yeah.
I love that man. So I've just looked at your Twitter account, JB. What are you doing going, this is how you poke the bear? What are you talking about?
Oh, I think your Gloucester question is fantastic. No, it's not a question.
So, I did the post-match interview for Steve Diamond. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, please.
It's minute 18. I'm
surprised you're here. I'm surprised that you're not in pieces.
Okay. Come on. Come on.
Do you want me to just recite it?
You can if you like.
Steve, are you an idiot? Steve, do you think your team is bad or you're a bad coach?
Steve, what do you put that defeat down to?
Well, I think Saracens, obviously a very good side. I thought error rate was high, particularly high.
I feel how angry he is.
We gave, I think, the first four or five penalties of the game we gave away. So I don't know why we went on it. Fair play to Saracens. They were a far better team than us.
Yeah, you mentioned the handling errors and the discipline. But another statistic, you've made the fewest clean breaks and beaten the fewest defenders in the Premiership. Is that attacking side of things a cause of concern?
Well, I didn't really know that stat, but no, I think we were trying a little bit too hard today. I think one or two passes went astray and they capitalised on it. And against the top sides, that's what happens. If you don't get your execution right, then you lose.
So far, so good. So all fine, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're poking a little bit.
Sorry?
You are poking the bear a little
wait
bit.
Wait for this bit.
Why am I poking? I don't understand why that's poking. That's just like...
Oh, no, it's good. I like it. I like it.
You've got to ask the questions.
Anyway. Stadium to be a bit of a fortress for you in recent years, but that's three defeats in six. That must be a concern, Steve.
Well, not really, no. We've been beaten by Toulon and we've been beaten by Saracen, so we'll look at our performance today and try and make it better for next week.
And Gloucester, of course, but a very tough run of games between now and Christmas, including two more games against Saracens.
What? I don't understand why that's poking the bear.
Corrected him to wind...
And then move on. So
correcting him to like weaken his point and then immediately move on before he can defend himself.
You might as well go, that's cute, and Gloucester. And then
No.
I think it's good.
No, I thought that would... If you were a Gloucester fan,
yeah,
you'd be going, oh, right, so it's all right to get beaten by Saracens, but not to get beaten by us.
I think that's exactly what I'd be... Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
Okay, well, anyway, I didn't mean anything by it, but you thought that poked the bear. I didn't think there was anything in it, really. Anyway.
What lessons do you need to learn to get a different result?
Well, the lessons we need to learn are we need to turn up on match day like we did in training.
And how will you achieve that between now and the next game, Steve?
Well, we've got to work out...
What?
In practice.
Thanks very much for your time.
Very good.
I don't think it was poking the bear, and if it was, then I think that's
so
my...
bit. I'm guilty.
It's.
I think that's my job.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. No. I think it's a very good interview. I think you've done your job perfectly.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. No criticism from me at all.
I enjoyed
it. Great.
Okay. Fine. All right. Good. I just saw JB's tweet. That's how you poke the bear.
Yeah.
The Gloucester bit is good.
But Sale will be disappointed.
Yeah, and they should be. I thought they were going to win this, and now they've got Exeter, they've got Northampton, they've got Saracens twice, and they have got someone else as well. It's going to be a tough month for Sale.
They've got Wasps away next weekend.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. How, are you revising your thoughts on how their season may go?
No, I think sixth or seventh.
that is revised.
So the answer is yes.
Why would I say fifth?
I think they could get top four, definitely.
Oh,
top
no,
six.
Sorry, I'll give fifth.
Okay, so you're saying top six.
It depends on the home form. I mean, one of the reasons I think that their stats for defenders beaten and clean breaks made is so poor is because they are so poor on the road.
Well, also, there's lies, damn lies and statistics. I know that, you know, Phil loves your stats, but you definitely understand there's a... That doesn't mean they're the worst attacking side. It just means the way that they play isn't to beat men one-on-one. It might be to find an overlap.
Yeah.
And that doesn't count as defenders beaten.
Yes.
And so, you know, there's... You take everything with a pinch of salt. You can find any statistic.
Well, George Ford will make this team tick next year. Don't you worry about that.
Do you know what we should talk about is fantasy rugby draft?
Do it.
So, I know that a lot of people have got on board recently. We've been there since the start of the season. But fantasyrugbydraft.com is a new way to play fantasy rugby. And if you are a fan of the NFL and you understand the draft system, it will be second nature to you. If you don't, then JB, your description last week was absolutely priceless. Loved it, which was, it's like picking teams at school. There's only a finite number of players and you can't all have Owen Farrell. Only one person can. You do it with your mates. You all have to pick, and then you have to barter and trade, and then there are some shady, shady business that goes on alongside it. For example, a day before Leicester's team sheet is announced, JB will sign all the players from Leicester that just then happen to be unexpected additions to the 15.
I don't know what you are talking about.
So there's a quick DM, a direct message to Tom Brady on Twitter.
No, there's not.
Tom,
no,
Tom, are you looking like you're starting this week? Yeah, I'll probably be starting, but obviously that's unofficial. I'll sign Tom Brady a day before the team comes out.
That was just good. That was just good selection. Tom Croft, yeah. He hasn't played for 2 years. I get it. But it's a Lions year, right? Who else would I pick?
Well, what's interesting is that Tom Brady got you minus 0.1 points.
And Tom Croft went off injured after
2.7 points.
Yeah, but Brendan O'Connor did all right.
And there's still a chance that the scores will be revised, so I'm not counting my chickens yet, but it looks like in our matchup this week, I've beaten you.
I know.
Which I'm very happy with, bearing in mind I had three players not even playing.
Did you?
Yeah, Jackson, I didn't have a centre. Ben Spencer was on the bench. And
Ben Spencer came off the bench to score a 60-meter try.
That takes some guts to pick a scrum half who's on the bench every week, which I do every week.
Really?
I pick him on the because I think he how good has he done off the bench? This is what I mean. This is why fantasy rugby draft is so good. It really tests your skills because you can't all have the same player.
Yeah, I tell you the other thing which is going to be awesome for next season is our draft party, because we are definitely going to have some sort of draft party.
Yes,
we definitely need to,
without a doubt. Without a doubt. So, you need to assemble a bunch of your mates. You need to go to fantasyrugbydraft.com. And when you make your team and you select your side and you do your draft, make sure the word egg is in your team, because we will have, I think at the end of the year, is it right, Phil, or in a couple of weeks?
In the new year.
In the new year, we are collecting a pretty incredible stash giveaway. So if you want to be in with a chance of that, and if you want to get on board, forget all this. Like people, a load of people at work, teams and mates do fantasy Premier League football, don't they?
Yeah.
But everyone ends up with the same players by the end of the season.
Yes. Mm.
Like last year, everyone had Mahrez for Leicester. Yeah. It becomes meaningless.
Mahrez and Vardy. Yeah.
Exactly. So this is a different way of doing it. So get on board. We love it. We love it.
Yeah, and it makes you a lot more interested in rugby, which I didn't think I could be, but I am.
And when we do a draft party, we should Facebook Live that draft party.
You'd be amazed.
First pick of the draft.
We definitely can't do that, because there's no way I'm risking the internet going down when I'm about to draft a player.
No, what we'll do is we'll hotspot it.
We can fill in the actual drafts afterwards. We could do it for real, like on a board.
Yes, anyway. Anyway,
that's all.
Right, should we just mention the other two results, because no one saw them because they weren't on TV. And then we'll go into predictions for next week.
So Exeter comfortably beat Newcastle.
Shock.
I
think it
not
was
a
away
shock.
From home.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I might
and
be a bit
winning
there,
that
be...
that well. Newcastle have looked good.
Yeah,
and Exeter haven't.
Yeah, and it was Exeter's only their third win in the Premiership, and it's catapulted them up the table into fifth place.
Has it really?
Yeah,
it shows how close. I mean, they're in fifth on 21 and Gloucester in ninth are on 17 points, so one win can jump you right up the table, or conversely, let you fall right down the table.
Mm. Yeah, and they had a pretty full squad out as well. Just looking through it, and more importantly, really, was the Northampton Worcester game, because it just shows Worcester have really come on.
They have come on, but for them not to get the win.
Mm.
It's so Northampton aren't playing particularly well.
Mm-hmm.
They're not scoring tries at all, and Worcester, they're playing quite good rugby, but they're these close games, they're not closing them out. And close games like that, to lose by 1 point at home, that's the kind of game, especially when Northampton have got a lot of players missing with England, that's the kind of game they have to win.
I'd tell you another thing as well, just looking through the teams, you might be right there, because particularly in the backs, I can't remember a Worcester team looking this strong. Ryan Mills is back Oliver, or however you say his name, Hammond, Pennell, Oliver, Hammond, Pennell, and Cooper.
Yeah, Pennell coming back is massive for them, actually. He's so important at fullback.
Yeah, so, but they get the bonus point, and I think it's fair to say everyone's safe except for Bristol at the moment.
As things stand, you wouldn't put money on anyone else but Bristol going down.
Bristol go down, it's an absolute nightmare, isn't it, for the administration? Because they're going to have someone else come up.
When's this ring fencing going to happen?
Never, by sounds of things.
I hope it doesn't.
I hope it does. Why on earth do you want a yo-yo team coming up and down? I mean,
Because then, well, the reason is because Nat, by this point in the season, Bristol would go, oh, well, do you know what, let's just write this season off, let's just...
That's not a bad thing. That's a great thing.
You think that's going to get fans coming through and watching games? You think that's going to mean that... There's stuff on the line.
I don't think they would ever write it off.
I don't think you write off a season.
It's actually more of an opportunity for them to develop some new players
and be a bit more carefree with the rugby. That's why I love
the possibility. As a result, then you get like when you go, oh, it's Zebre versus Edinburgh. Oh, wow.
Well,
does it matter?
Depends,
you'll get games
because,
like that.
No, because there's such a gulf in class. I mean. The Pro 12, Zebre can put up their top team and it's still rubbish. Okay, so I'm not seeing anyone come through whom I really care about. Every Premiership team, has an academy. And I want to see those players play. It sounds really sad, but one of my favourite things about International Weekend is seeing lads like Max Clark play for Bath, because I can see what next year's stars or stars after next year are going to look like. I think it'd be really exciting to see. You know, look at Worcester. Worcester started the season with so many injuries, and they brought all these academy lads through. They'll be a much better team for it.
But then look at England's players, and you wouldn't say that the current system has prohibited any young players from coming through, has it? Because of the salary cap that we talked about last week.
No, it hasn't.
Players have to squeeze that value, and therefore young players do get their chance because you can't hold. There's only so many big name players you can hold on to.
Oh yeah, but I just want to see them play.
There is another thing that. By closing the league, you can potentially make it more difficult for players to move from one club to another and incentivise clubs to retain them even more, so you don't get a club like London Irish who, if they'd have kept all their players, they would be pushing for top four.
Exactly.
They wouldn't be in the Championship.
And also, don't you like the idea, just the idea that your international fly half, Reece Priestland, goes down, and you throw on some young lad who's 19, and that guy might have an amazing game, and you get to watch
that.
Do
you know what 19-year-old you get to see next year when Bristol go down?
Fiji and Joe.
Yeah.
From London Irish.
We must stop calling him Fiji and
Joe.
Yeah, I know. It's got all racist connotations going on.
I know, but we only mention that because that's what the fans call.
Here comes
call
Chinese
it.
Ken.
Yeah, he's bad, isn't it? But London Irish, who Jim Hamilton and Petrus Duplessis, as we mentioned last week. Did we mention that last week? No, I didn't. No, I let you know.
No,
Petrus Duplessis, is that the right guy?
Petrus Duplessis from Saracens and Jim Hamilton from Saracens, as I understand it, will be going to London Irish.
Awesome. Nice signings.
Yeah. Well, Petrus is 35, but actually...
Still scrummaging,
and it will mean that they can let... I should imagine Owen Freaks will go. Well, speaking of international stars, you see there's another man on the dicks, getting on the dick. On the Deeks.
Yes, I did see someone was on
so
the
Deeks.
We saw
Dean Carter on the
Deeks. Oh, yeah. I know who you're going to say.
Who was it?
MHD.
Yes.
Mullet-Dickie
is on the Deeks.
Yeah. With Sam Hill, I think it was.
Yeah, getting on the Deeks, bro. Well, that makes a lot of sense because when I was working on the Anglo-Welsh Cup match, Phil Dolman was doing a little bit to show me around the Exeter dressing room. I said, oh, there's some music on. I said, oh, who's in charge of the music? And he went... Sam Hill's the DJ for the team. But now MHD.
Yeah.
Do you know what I used to do for Broughton Park before they kicked me out? They lost this weekend.
Very magnanimous of you there, Jay.
Well, you know, when you get a sex offender as your new director of rugby, it's bound to happen, isn't it? So... what I would do is I'd go around the team on Spotify... and then get every player to pick one song for the way back. And that worked very, very, very well. And we used to have little white wireless speakers.
Manchester Rugby Club, before it dive-bombed down the leagues when we were back in National 1 and used to go on long road trips, that was power ballads. Always power ballads.
Yeah, the problem is with rugby clubs, is especially with young lads, like what, like some 19-year-old puts, I think German Whip, the song on, which makes no sense to me. And then you get the 35-year-old, I think Jack Williams had Madonna. Is it Holiday?
Holiday.
That's the one. Yeah. So quite an eclectic mix.
Mm. Right, we should. I'm thinking of an idea because I'm on Virgin Radio. I'm thinking I might have to explore some ideas of finding the DJs at each club and getting them to pick some tunes.
That's a great idea
for the radio show.
That is a very good idea.
That's a very good idea. Well done, Tim. That's why you're better than Chris Moyles. Chris Moyles wouldn't be thinking like that. Shall we do the predictions
yes.
next week? Fire away in.
Let's do it. So, Friday night, two games. We've got Northampton hosting Newcastle.
Mm-hmm. Northampton at home.
Northampton at home, absolutely.
Oh, we know. We stop. We must talk about Callum Clark.
Oh, go on then.
Okay.
Absolutely outrageous.
I've not seen
and
it.
And he's got form and previous, unfortunately, hasn't he?
Yes, yeah. He has.
What he almost managed to do to Donnacher O'Callaghan, and this is where that question that we mentioned on the previous podcast in relation to the Ireland match and some of the tackles there, and if you want to hear the international podcast, go to the feed and listen to that one. But it's that question of intent versus outcome, because on this occasion, it looked like there was clear intent to do some real horrible damage to Donnacher O'Callaghan's...
What was it? Was it an elbow?
So
more damage?
Donnacher O'Callaghan was on the floor on his back, falling away from a ruck. Callum Clark was coming in as if he was going to clean out a ruck, but then was sort of falling over Donnacher O'Callaghan, put his elbow into a point and pushed his elbow down towards the eye socket of Donnacher O'Callaghan, who just moved his head and it just missed. It glanced off his cheek ever so slightly. Donnacher O'Callaghan was absolutely incensed, got up and laid into Callum Clark.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I don't know what sanction it was, whether it was a yellow or anything, but all I've seen is the replay of the actual incident. I don't know what was given at the time, but it was horrible.
Mm. Yeah, so that is an interesting one, actually, that if you have the intent and you fail to execute properly.
Yeah.
I mean,
it happened, again, in the Sale game, it happened with Helani Olika, where he swung a punch,
yeah,
and Jim Hamilton just managed to duck. It contacted the shoulder, therefore it was a yellow card, not a red card.
Callum Clark did get a... he got a yellow for something else, for overreacting and throwing Johnny R to the ground.
Oh, so he didn't get anything for that.
He didn't get yellow for that incident.
Oh well, keep an eye on that, because I don't know what the laws are and what you do.
No, because they talk, you don't need intent, you don't need mens rea, and they talk about strict liability in rugby. So if it happens, it does. The intent is irrelevant. It's if it happens, it happens, and that no foul has been committed if he didn't make contact. If he brushed him, there is a foul. If he didn't actually make contact, then there is no foul. So you follow that through,
yeah,
and it shouldn't be a penalty. But then I think that is wrong.
Yeah, and this is where, and you can't just penalise everything all the time. I think it's the perfect timing for my perspective that there's outcome and then there's intent and there's this concept that accidents happen. And I appreciate it's really complicated, and you won't always get it right, and it's subjective, and it's a sliding scale, and which is why I don't... When you say you want consistency, well, in that case, Callum Clark gets away with it because he didn't actually do anything. But he tried to elbow drop, and
yeah,
who knows,
well, no,
blind Donnacher O'Callaghan. It was absolutely outrageous. And but by the letter of the law and for consistency, Callum Clark should have nothing done to him. But this is what I mean. If you want the letter of the law and you want consistency, that's what you get. You get Callum Clark getting nothing.
No, I don't think you have to have Callum Clark getting nothing to have consistency. I think you can have a scenario where you've got exactly the laws. If someone tries and fails, you can still come down on like a ton of bricks.
Mm.
And you can still have that complete consistency. Okay. They're not mutually exclusive at all.
Okay. Well, good. Well, I hope so. I'll be interested to know what you think as well at Rugby Podcast. But, I'm trying to find a video of it. And it's really hard to because it wasn't a televised game.
I can't find anything on it.
But it was outrageous. And he will, I hope, be sanctioned for it.
Yes.
And could be quite significant. Well, it's hard to know.
Well, this is the whole thing. Like, should attempted murder be any less than murder?
Yeah.
And if for one thing you're benefiting incompetence. If someone fails to execute something as planned, then they actually get a benefit out of it. So I'm not really for this. I think they should come down on him.
In terms of the result, again, you're only taking my description of what happened. You'll have to see it for yourself and have a decision. But in terms of the rugby side of it, what was ridiculous about that is it gave Worcester a penalty attempt at the death to potentially score. Callum Clark gave away a penalty, which could have given them a score at the death. And fortunately for Northampton, Worcester didn't take it. But anyway, Northampton, I expect to win at home.
I believe I can find you the Callum Clark thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. BT Sport website. Thank you to one of our listeners for that.
Oh, awesome.
Well, we'll have a look at that. We've spoken enough about that anyway. We can have a look at that afterwards. So
you briefly fire it up as we carry on talking about the games.
Let's briefly run through the game. So Northampton, Newcastle, home win. Bristol host Leicester, which I would say an away win.
Yep.
I can't see it going any other way.
No.
Then on Saturday, Exeter host Worcester, which I think will be an Exeter win.
Exeter win.
Saracens host Gloucester, which will be... So
Saracen win.
You would say Saracens win, and I still do say Saracens win, but I was just impressed by the Gloucester performance against Wasps, against still a decent Wasps team.
Yeah.
Then Wasps host Sale, which I will be saying Wasps.
Sale.
You always say Sale.
I think Wasps.
And then Quinns host Bath, which will be interesting. So Quinns obviously much better at home.
Yeah.
And both teams are losing some seriously key players. But Quinns need to win that.
What's the status? What competition are they doing in terms of Pro 12, or is it all? Are they not? Are they not doing anything?
There is
now?
A Pro.
There
no,
is Pro 12. There is Pro 12 this coming weekend. So there was nothing the weekend just gone.
Because English teams, as we've talked about, because there's 12 sides, the international team is spread thin. Albeit some clubs, Harlequins, Saracens, get really heavily affected, and others don't get affected at all, like Sale. But generally speaking, it's spread a lot thinner. This is just going to mean...
Well, Glasgow will be decimated. There's nothing left in Glasgow.
Glasgow, Leinster, Ospreys, they're all pretty heavy hit. And Zebre and Treviso are also quite heavily hit, although you'd probably not notice.
Well, I mean, they're better than South Africa now, so...
Zebre are better than South Africa.
Mm. Yeah, it's really hard to call the Pro 12. I suspect Glasgow will beat Ospreys, who knows? I suspect Connacht will beat Cardiff. Who knows? Ulster, Zebre. Yeah, maybe Ulster. Scarlets, Leinster. Who knows? Munster will beat Treviso. And Edinburgh will... Don't know.
Our Pro 12 fans will have loved that update. That almost deserved the bed.
Yeah.
That almost deserved the Pro 12 bed. In fact, we need to dig that out again.
Yeah.
The Pro 12 bed, what was that?
The music. From the people that brought you...
Zebra 6, Dragons 12.
I know it. It's on my other device.
Pro 12 report.
I was very proud of that.
We'll have to get the Pro 12 report music back out. Oh, one bit of music then we can... Oh, sorry, Phil.
No.
One bit of music we could wrap up with, because we have been hard at the coalface for a while. We've got wives that want to spend a little bit of time with us.
Not me.
food that wants to get eaten, in my case.
I need to go and eat some food.
But
I need to get to bed. I've not had much sleep this weekend at all.
Of course. So this Wednesday. That was the weekend.
Wednesday.
That was the weekend. This
sorry,
is Wednesday.
Sorry, sorry. It's been a tough week at work. Tough day at work today. got some strange looks wearing my Lions top in work and shorts. And...
Right. I'm going back through our own tweets to find. We can finish like old times. We had a little period where we'd celebrate rugby. Okay,
yes.
Some of the and Alex Corbisiero was our Jack Berger and Alex Corbisiero. Like historically for the podcast, were our favourites.
Yeah.
Well, this is Corb. Firstly, he's tweeted going little off the cuff jam session in the BMW. The mention that it was BMW was egregious and completely unnecessary. And clearly, this is a way to just for. Say to his agent, forward that to the PR company that give me my new Beamer every year.
Yeah,
There you go. That'll keep, this will keep him sweet.
I mean, this is the image that BMW want, right? This is their core demographic of 50-year-olds. They're going to love this. Are we ending this, boys?
He mentioned Gorilla. He mentioned Gorilla again. You remember? Do you remember? Because remember the old Henley Festival one? Where
yeah.
I'm the killer. By the way, Thriller. I'm the lady killer, built like a gorilla, mixed with your favourite chinchilla.
Do you remember it? Because Tim does.
I do now.
Wasn't the Henley Festival sponsored by BMW as well?
That's exactly what it was.
There are sales directors all over the country listening to this thinking, I need a BMW now.
He's got a very low-cut V-neck T-shirt.
He looks very trim, doesn't he?
He
looks
does.
In great shape.
Yeah.
He does look in great shape. He's given up the rugby now completely, hasn't
Must
he?
Must have. He's a car salesman.
He's presenting... That's what Chris Moyles did before he nicked my job. True.
Is that right?
Or was that just a tax dodge? I think it was just a tax dodge.
Ooh.
Anyway. Are we done?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, let's
wrap it up.
Let's go eat, Phil.
Yes, eat and sleep.
Yeah. Right. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for watching. If you've been watching this on Facebook Live, if you're listening and you'd like to watch it and you want to see why people commented every couple of minutes saying, JB, keep your legs shut and watch us being full kit wankers in our Lions stash, then get to Facebook Egg Chasers where you can find us there, at Rugby Podcast where you can find us on Twitter, subscribe on iTunes and Acast. We've got anyone else we need to mention?
Yeah, I just want to mention this. I said before, Broughton Park's director of rugby is a sex offender. I retract that. He might be a sex offender. just to
well,
cover my back.
Technically, anyone might be a sex offender.
Exactly. Just want to cover my back there, you know, in case.
That's the one thing about Facebook Live, isn't it? Because you can edit it out of a podcast, but it's there for the world right
now. Yeah.
Well, so, there you go.
Do you want to name the guy just so he knows?
I would no. I couldn't possibly name Alan Marsden because it just wouldn't be worth it. Wouldn't be worth it.
Oh my word! Right, see you in court or on the next podcast.
All right, bye bye.
In a bit.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.